141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we round off another midweek of the top flight winter break. Celtic are closing in on the signing of winger Nicholas Kuhn. Rangers continue their warm weather preparations in La Manga amid further speculation about the future of players like Ridvan Yilmaz. And Motherwell's chairman is hopeful their viral plea for investment video will have the desired effect. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
How long does it take you to sign a player from Rapid Vienna? Our transfer window is jammed. Is there a Premiership handyman out there who can open up this transfer window and bring some players in? Best thing about today, Inverness, Cali, Thistle and Dundee United tonight. What a match that promises to be, setting up a big championship Saturday in the process.
I've been looking forward to you returning tonight because I know for a fact, out of all of our pundits, no matter what the subject, you are the most impatient. So yes. I was hoping you would come in and put a bit of urgency into these transfer proceedings. I can tell you it's getting there. A little bit. Hearts have signed a right back, and here's an interesting one for you. Breaking news, not even included in my Clyde One Super Scoreboard headlines, but has now come to my attention. Remember Kwon?
Yes.
Signed for Celtic. You're thinking, this guy's not got much of a future at Celtic. We won't hear from him again. We will, because he's away to Paisley, to St Mirren. Well, specifically he's in Spain, because that's where St Mirren are training. But Kwon has joined St Mirren on loan. Another, I think that is a very interesting one to kick us off.
It's a bizarre one. You know, he comes over here to play for Celtic and is seen in a pre-season game and then never seen again, and clearly joins the number of people being shown the door at Celtic Park. So good luck to him, but your days are numbered at Celtic.
You never know. Maybe it's getting them ready for the rigours of Premiership football. Christopher Ayer went to Kilmarnock on loan, came back. Now he's in English Premier League. There we go. Bit of breaking news before we even got to any of the other non-breaking news. But anyway, we're here. Whether it's the winter break or not, it's 01419511025. Give us a call. Cammy Bell, you strike me, out of all of our pundits, as the one who would enjoy some warm weather training. No, you stuck around.
Love it. Yeah.
Staying in Annan for the break.
I've not ventured away yet, but I'm planning on venturing away, so hopefully I'll manage to get some January sun at some point.
I knew you would. Anyway, 01419511025, that is the number you need. Same theme runs through all of these shows, of course, during the winter break, and it is transfer. So what's the latest? Are you, let's call it the Hugh Keevansometer, are you as impatient as him? Are you nowhere near it? Are you somewhere in the middle? How close to Hugh Keevan's level of impatience have you got if your team hasn't made a signing yet? What do you make of the names that are doing the rounds? Nicholas Kuhn, of course, Celtic. We expect that to happen. Kwon's gone to St Mirren. St Mirren fans and Celtic fans, what do you make of that? We're going to hear from the Motherwell chairman. He's had his say on the come and invest in us plea to Taylor Swift and our A-list pals. And anything else that's out there, give us a call. And what we are really particularly looking for you to get involved in, tonight's the big one. All this week, we have been dishing out some of the most prestigious awards known anywhere in the global game. It has been the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Half Season Awards, and we've had a bit of fun with it. We've had new signing of the season, surprise of the season, we've had moment of the season, we had young player of the season. And we don't leave much to the imagination. We've built up to the big one tonight. Who has been your player of the season so far? Call us right now and give us your suggestions. 01419511025. Don't get me wrong, once we put it out to the vote, it tends to be dominated by Glasgow's Big Two. That tends to be the way things work when we open up a democratic process here. But there are lots of other names out there, I'm sure. So who has been your player of the season so far? 01419511025. Call us right now or tweet us. In previous nights this week, we've kind of been letting the awards wait until the second hour, but I think we'll just run this right throughout the show tonight. So you can call us right now. We'll dip in and out of it. We'll talk about the other news points from today. Celtic women's team have got a new manager as well in Elena Sadiku. So call us right now and get whatever it is that is on your chest off. Now the theme of it, Hugh Keevans, and you'll know, you've been a part of it, is we take calls, we take tweets, we take suggestions, yep. We apply a bit of refereeing to it if need be. We produce a four-man shortlist that then gets voted on overnight, and we announce the winner the following evening. So last night it was all about young player of the season. Some brilliant shouts there. The four that we came up with were Lennon Miller of Motherwell, David Watson of Kilmarnock, Owen Beck of Dundee, albeit he's gone again, and Ross McCausland of Rangers. Now Ross McCausland won it quite comfortably. As we said, it tends to be, if there's a Celtic or Rangers player in there, no one really cares. I'm not taking anything away from poor Ross if he's listening. Well done on your award. I think I'm still bitter about Ali Adams, their both keeper, being robbed from the previous evening. But there we go. Let's
I actually heard Mark Wilson last night utter the words, I hate democracy. Because everyone exercise their democratic right to say, I know the goalkeeper should get it, or I know that Kenny McLean should get it because of that life-changing moment, but
I have to vote for my team.
And now I can hear people going MAOOTRILEY JACKBUTLAND.
Don't make me check your spelling, because I'm going to have to listen back. I'm confident in you. If we'd left that task up to Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson, having listened to them on the quiz last night, I'm not sure how they would have got on. But he was very good at identifying songs from their intro.
I almost fell off my seat. I almost dropped the cold beans when I heard him talk about Depeche Mode. I would never in my wildest dreams have thought that Gordon Dale had ever heard of Depeche Mode.
Yeah, it was impressive. If you want to go and watch back the quiz from last night, you'll find it on the YouTube channel there as well. You can listen back on the podcast. Dare I say it was quite entertaining in the end. They're quite good at being chaotic, really, is ultimately what I'm trying to say. So feel free to go and listen back. Get your calls in, your player of the year suggestions, and already I love Twitter. You, right, there's a template here. Insert name of your team's best player.
Yes.
And then say, any other answer is wrong. That's kind of what they're doing. You're all so confident. I love it. Get your thoughts into his news stories of today. I do like that one because it impacts two of our teams. St Mirren have gained Kwon on loan from Celtic. I mean, St Mirren fans, I would ask what you make of it. I know I've not seen much of them, so there's not a lot to go on. But nevertheless, pick up that phone. Jim is in Springburn. I'm not even going to look at the screen any further, Jim. I know your name. I know your area. I won't look at what team, but I'll be able to tell if you tell me who your Player of the Year nominee is.
It's in Matt Riley.
What did I tell you?
But listen, I think it's a valid shout.
To be honest, if you'd asked Cammy and I, my choice would have been Matt O'Riley.
You don't have to announce it like 1 minute into the conversation. We can
build up. I don't have time for this.
Why has he been so good, Jim?
Right, well, see, the first time I seen Matt O'Riley, I wasn't live at the game, I wasn't in television. I actually thought Tom Rogic was still on the park. They're so similar, and he's got the eye for a pass, and even the goal against Atletico Madrid, just that pass to Kyogo. Superb.
The progress that he's made since arriving here from the MK Dons has been astonishing. He's gone from a player who cost Celtic, what, 1.5-2 million, to a player who, when he goes, will get Celtic in excess of 20 million. I know it's not all about money, but Jim's right. To look at him on the park is an absolute treat, and this season he started better than any of the seasons before.
Democracy will decide, Cammy, but for us, in terms of looking at who goes on that shortlist, it is so obvious, because you can use whatever metric you want. The eye test, is he just nice to watch? I think clearly, you know, numbers, is he contributing? He's got 10 goals already for Celtic. In terms of kind of further achievements as well, he's now a fully fledged Denmark international. I don't think there's any doubt that he's had a very good season.
Yeah, he's been incredible, and he's a fantastic player, a player I love watching. He's just got that he moves about the pitch so well, travels with the ball really. And as Jim says, listen, he's got a bit of Tom Rogic about him. He gets about the pitch better than him, I would say. But listen, you can't argue with his numbers this season. They've been brilliant. And as Hugh says, what a find he's been. What an absolute find he's been.
I don't always think you have to compare and then you end up slagging one of them off, sort of thing. But is he, if there was one feather in the cap of Matt Riley, is he a bit more of an all-round midfielder than wonderful as Tom Rogic was?
And he was a brilliant player, so listen, to be getting measured against him, is credit to O'Riley. I just feel as if he fits into that Celtic team so, so well. We know what Callum McGregor brings to Celtic, but Matt Riley, he's irreplaceable at this moment in time, and a player that Celtic need to keep a hold of going forward.
Jim, how important has he been to Celtic's big moments this season?
Oh, he's been immense, Gordon. Everything you see good coming from Celtic is through him. And as you said, his goals he's added this year, and Rogic was only lasting 70 minutes some games, you know. He's got it all round, and his defensive work is superb as well. He falls into shape, and he does everything that I can't see a fault in again.
Because players are so good, Jim, inevitably people come in and buy them, and that is the Celtic model, undeniably so. But I really don't think that Celtic could contemplate selling O'Riley in this window. They would have to wait until the summer, because the title race is still in the balance, and O'Riley is one of those players who can tip the balance.
It's not been... it's something that people expected. There's not been loads of rumour and speculation about it in the last couple of days, Jim. Is that something that worries you, that the clubs try this window, or are you pretty confident he sticks around?
Hopefully he'll stick around. I think Brendan's got a hold of him and said to him, right, get this one out of the way. And with the Champions League changing format next year, hopefully he might even want to stick about. And give us a good chance. I don't know progressing, but getting better.
After three seasons at Celtic Park, which it will be by next May.
Yep. Two and a half, is it?
Well, he's going to be thinking about moving on, because, you know, he is a cut above. And as I say, the Celtic model is exemplified by doing just that. You bring them in from the MK Dons and you sell them to Tottenham Hotspur.
And before we get to that, though, let's not move him on too early. He's the obvious one, isn't it, Cammy? It's been said a lot about the impact Brendan Rodgers apparently has had on him, or seemingly has had on him. Brendan Rodgers came into a Celtic team that had won a treble, so it's not exactly easy to improve them all, and I know managers are judged on that, but the notion that, you know, Kyogo and Greg Taylor and Alistair Johnson and everybody would kick on again all at the same time, probably unrealistic, although we do expect it in this part of the world. But you wonder if there's just something about Brendan Rodgers that suits Matt O'Riley.
Yeah, it seems that way. It seems that they've got a really good relationship with each other, and that's only good for all the Celtic fans, that you think when a player and a manager have a good relationship with each other, you might stay that little bit longer. I firmly don't expect him to leave in this window. I think he'll definitely be there until the summer, and then he'll have a decision to make, because I'm pretty sure if he continues the form that he's in, and unfortunately for Celtic fans, that's what happens when these players play at the top of the game, and if he goes on to win the league and other trophies as well that are available, then his profile goes up, and all these suitors come in to look at him in the summer. And but yeah, he's a joy to watch, and Celtic fans should enjoy him while he's there at the moment, because he's a top quality player.
You can't sell the fans short, Cammy. You know, the fans are looking for the title, and you can't sell them short by selling O'Riley in this window.
Yeah.
The summertime, an entirely different matter, but he, for me, has the not for sale sign on his back.
Thank you to Jim kicking us off tonight with the suggestion for Matt O'Riley. Does Ross want to add his weight to that argument or give us another name?
Hi Gordon, how are you? Hope you're all well.
Good, thanks. Good.
I think for me, player of the year, Matt O'Riley, definitely. I think you can clearly see the guy is going to move on to a higher level of football than Celtic, but just what you said there, I'm happy for him to leave in the summer, but definitely know this window. Matt O'Reilly needs to stay. If you lose him, then it's a tough ask to replace him.
So, I mean, look, we're talking player of the year, so it's fairly, this has to be a yes, but, you know, by a mile, Celtic's best player this season, or, you know, how would you kind of rate his importance within that group?
I think, obviously, you need to remember, we've got also Callum McGregor there. So Callum McGregor is a massive importance in that midfield, but O'Reilly is, for me, he's the one that makes Celtic tick. I think everything goes through O'Reilly, and you can clearly see when he's not on the team, Celtic will struggle. But again, it's all about holding on to him. I think if we lose him in this window, then it's going to be massive. So for me, he's definitely player of the year for Celtic, hands down.
And the league so far?
Sorry, do you mean for the league, sorry?
Yeah, so you're saying you said he's hands down for Celtic so far, but you know, you're confident that is enough to make him the standout player in the league overall?
Oh, definitely, Gordon, yeah. I think when you watch Scottish football, I think there's nobody in the league I don't think it's better than him. I think he is, by far, the best player in Scotland.
If you took Shankland into the equation, Ross, you know, if you were to take off your Celtic scarf and just think about the league as a whole, Shankland would be a contender, wouldn't he?
He would, Hugh, he would. But I think when you look at O'Reilly, though, O'Reilly's got more to his game than Shankland. Shankland scores goals, but could Shankland do what Matt O'Reilly does in the middle of the park? I'm not so sure, Hugh.
Well, maybe someone can phone in and throw that name into the hat as well. Look, I think he obviously has stood out for Celtic, as the callers have said, Cammy. Liam Scales would get a worthy mention. He fell more into the, what did he win again? Surprise of the season. He won earlier on this season. So I'm not sure many would say he's been better than Matt O'Reilly. But it's a nice position to be in, having Callum McGregor to be behind you, the way that Ross mentions. Does that help him?
It definitely does help him. And Ross mentioned that O'Reilly was a key player. For me, Callum McGregor's still the most important player for Celtic.
Think so?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they miss him so much when he doesn't play. I agree with Ross that O'Reilly at this moment in time is the best player. But I just think Callum McGregor brings so much to that team. He brings the best out of other players. And when he's not playing, sometimes I feel as if Celtic can look a little bit lost. And maybe not have that drive.
There's every chance I'm looking at this retrospectively and finding something that's not there. Mm-hmm. But is it possible that Matt Riley's flourishing because he's become the main man in the midfield? Because Reo Hitati's not been there.
Yep.
There was a revolving door for a while. David Turnbull scored lots of goals but could never nail down a place. Mm-hmm. Odin Thiago Holm, we don't hear much of him. Paulo Bernardo latterly, etc, etc. If you accept that Callum McGregor is just the one that almost quietly makes things tick along.
Yep.
Has Matt O'Reilly benefited from the fact that he's the next obvious standout one in there to really go and make things happen?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's grabbed that opportunity with two hands. I firmly believe. Listen, he's playing with unbelievable confidence at the moment. Some of his passing, in the first minute in the St Mirren game was majestic. Just his movement, it's brilliant to watch. I think McGregor and O'Reilly complement each other. McGregor knows when he can give O'Reilly the ball, which Matt O'Reilly unlocks the door. That's what he does, and he scores goals. He's so important for Celtic, but I always just reflect back on how important Callum McGregor is. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player.
I feel a mad Gordon Dalziel analogy coming on.
That should never happen.
Callum McGregor bakes the cake. O'Reilly puts the icing on top of the cake.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me?
Uh-huh, yeah. I was just trying to
puts the cherry on top?
I'll get back to you.
Alright, okay.
You have always reminded me of Prue Leith now that you mentioned that. Anyway, so we'll move on. Thank you, Ross. That's a couple of shouts for Matt O'Reilly. Do you want to throw your weight further behind that name? Do you want to give me something else? It's entirely up to you. If you call right now, we'll get you on next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We're looking for your suggestions for player of the year so far. It'll be interesting to see if these names last the distance and are in the conversation come May. But let's have a bit of fun with it during this winter break And looking for your comments, your thoughts, your opinions on today's transfer dealings and rumours as well. We do have some confirmed stuff. We've not been lucky enough to get that every night this week, but Kwon has gone on loan from Celtic to St Mirren. What do you make of that? Get your thoughts in alongside the player of the year so far discussion, and we will tick along nicely until 8 o'clock. Who was through first? I think it was Eddie in Airdrie. How's it going, Eddie?
I'm good, Gordon, yourself?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking, player of the year so far?
Player of the year, I was sitting listening to Cammy Bell and ex-Rangers keeper waxing lyrical about Celtic, and it was sticking in my craw a wee bit.
So he's very fair-minded
man. I'm a Rangers fan. I think, not just this season, but most seasons, you have to look at James Tavernier in terms of player of the season as far as Rangers is concerned, and indeed as far as the league's concerned. He is probably Rangers' joint top scorer. Maybe the second top scorer in the league. He scored over 100 goals for Rangers from a position of right back. He's the captain. Every time the ball gets played from Jack Butland, it goes from Butland to Golson to Tavernier, and he bombs up and down that wing 10 a penny. I just think the influence that he has on the team, there can't be many right backs in the world scoring as many goals as James Tavernier scores. So for me, he's always got to come into the equation for the player of the year.
You'd have to agree with that, the last bit, just purely because it's just like factual. 16 goals in 33 appearances so far this season, Hugh.
I wouldn't complain with what Eddie's had to say. Butland makes timely saves and he looks good in the process. However, you know, for Rangers goalkeeper to be player of the year eventually, it'd be an odd choice because you're looking for forward going players, and the Tavernier, the numbers stack up for him. I'm not concerned about last season or the season before. We're only confining ourselves to this season, and those are terrific numbers. A goal every two games.
Well, that's the bit that interests me, Eddie, because I always have a rough thought about maybe this name will come up and this name will come up. I was under the impression that most Rangers fans thought Jack Butland had been Rangers' best player this season and therefore would have been ahead of James Tavernier in this discussion. But is that definitely not the case for you, I take it?
No, I don't think so. I think, the goalkeeper is a specific position. It's a, as we know, it's a bit of a, sorry, Cammy, it's a bit of an oddity in football. Nobody really likes
that. I love it, Eddie.
So true.
But to be honest, that's what you're there to do. You're there to make saves, and albeit it's not your full responsibility, that's part of your job. And I think Jack Butland has had a great year, but I also think Alan McGregor had a great season last season, and I think there's been various Rangers keepers throughout the years, including Cammy, where they've had influential seasons. But James Tavernier, in terms of going forward, if you take James Tavernier's goals out of the Rangers team this season, then they're struggling to sit 2 points behind Celtic, if that.
Oh, that is, again, undeniable. And I love it because just a great word. Goalkeeping is an oddity, says Eddie. Sorry, Cammy, but listen, I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. listen, I agree, Eddie, and listen, I'll absolutely stick up for Rangers players. What I would say is James Tavernier has been brilliant over a number of years. And this season, again, he proves that how important he is. And Eddie's just touched on it. If you take them goals out of the... Oh, the Rangers team, they've been nowhere near Celtic. The league would have been done by now, and he's shown why he is the captain at the club. Leads by examples. His numbers are phenomenal year after year, season after season. And for me, absolutely, he's got to be in the mix for getting a shout for being halfway player of the year.
Look at the League Cup, gets the winner in the final, gets a double in the semi. Maybe, Eddie, maybe it's because I'm sort of worn down by this show and we get so many Rangers fans on complaining about James Tavernier so often. Maybe that's why I was surprised that was the first name. Why does that still go on then? Why do you think there is a bit more of a split in the Rangers supporter camp that maybe they wouldn't all agree with you?
I think that comes in for two reasons, Gordon. When he makes mistakes at the back, and he has done that, then it gets highlighted. And when he's making mistakes at back, he can't be making mistakes at the back and scoring goals up front. So I think his mistakes are highlighted probably much more than any other sort of defender at Rangers because he's a captain. And the other thing is, and this is a Glasgow, he's quietly spoken. He's no your typical digger and getting in and hitting people and walloping people. I think he's quietly spoken. I think he goes about his business in a quiet manner. It can be frustrating as far as the Rangers fans are concerned because he'll all come out with the blood and the thunder and jumping up and down and things like that. But I think that's part of his character. I think that's part of his calmness, which makes him the player that he is.
I go back to the game that cost Michael Beale's job, the Aberdeen game at Ibrox, and I have this mental image of Tavernier around the park, and he's apologising to the Rangers fans. You remember the scenes. And they are giving him dog's abuse. But at least he fronted up and he went to the fans. And I always get the impression that Tavernier becomes the immediate scapegoat and whipping boy when anything happens to Rangers of a negative nature. And then when times are better, and by that I mean when Michael Beale left and Philippe Clement came in, when times are better, then people appreciate what Tavernier does, and Eddie is one of those. So he's the whipping boy if anything goes wrong, and he's the top man if it's going well. Yeah,
the one thing I would take slight issue with on Eddie saying they thought Alan McGregor had a good season last season, I'm not saying he didn't. What I'm saying is, again, based on this show, we had loads of complaints, if you like, from Rangers fans on this show last season saying, I think it's probably time, you know, an amazing servant, but there's some goals going in that I think he should save, and we don't get any of that with Jack Butland. So is Jack Butland not above James Tavernier for you? What, how would you describe that then? Has he just been extra steady?
No, I think Jack Butland's exceptional. I really do. I think he's a brilliant signing for Rangers, and for me, he could go on to be another one of these Rangers greats. Alan McGregor is a Rangers great as a goalkeeper. I look at Andy Gorham again being one of these. Jack Butland, if he was to see his career out at Rangers, then he would definitely become one of these, because he's got the right temperament. He's a fantastic goalkeeper. He can play with his feet, but he's got that presence as well. He's came in, he's embraced the pressure, he's embraced the fans, and I just think he's been phenomenal. He's up there with Tav. I agree. I think Tav gets a raw deal of it, and he does, as Hugh says, he fronts up. That Aberdeen game, I remember, over in Cyprus again, he was over at the fans apologising. He's the one that doesn't go away. He'll always front up, and he takes the flack when it's coming his way, but his numbers are just incredible for a right back.
I am interested, because I think every Celtic fan thinks Matt O'Reilly's been their best player this season, but are the Rangers fans a bit more split then between Butland or Tavernier? Or you tell me. Thank you to Eddie. Greg's also a Rangers fan. What's your take on all this?
I think we said Eddie just got in there before me, because they pretty much said what I was going to say.
Listen, it's all about backing each other up then. If you want to agree, that's fine. Why is it James Tavernier and not Jack Butland then? Talk to me specifically about Rangers.
I think Butland's been a revelation since he's been came to Rangers. But what I would say is, if it wasn't for Tavernier, we wouldn't be, as you say, as close to Celtic, and we wouldn't have won that League Cup. He got us past Hearts in the semi-final, and he got that goal in the final. So we're only halfway into the season. How is he not even nominated? That's a big surprise, I think.
Well, I mean, he is if you want him to be. Well, you know, that's
get
two,
him in there, Greg.
That's two calls in a row. So if, you know, like I said, you guys pretty much decide on the phones, on Twitter. Hugh and Cammy can do a bit of refereeing.
I cannot dispute that Jack Butland has been a phenomenal signing for Rangers, and you know, for all that Michael Beale got criticised, and for all that Rangers sacked him, he brought Butland to the club, and for that he deserves credit. It would just be an odd thing for me.
So you think it takes more, basically, for a Rangers or probably Celtic goalkeeper to be player of the year? You just think it takes more? It takes like an absolutely outstanding level of...
I would find it almost a contradiction in terms, Gordon, if Rangers, for example, were to win the title. Other teams are available, but if Rangers were to win the title and the goalkeeper was player of the year, that to me would be a contradiction.
It can happen.
Yeah, definitely.
It can. Again, awards don't tend to go to goalies. You'll know this well.
Yep.
Craig Gordon's won a couple. Again, it feels like the times that he did it, you were talking about weekends, we say, oh, you need to see the save Craig Gordon make. Is that sort of what it takes? Or if you're Craig Gordon at Hearts, then you're probably a bit busier. Is that
ultimately, I think part of it? And I think that's the probably, when you look at Jack Butland, he shouldn't be that busy most weeks. And it's the big games that he needs to perform in, the Old Firm games, the European games. And that's where you would see him probably, if he was to earn that title of Player of the Season, then it would be because he's made big moments in these games and defining moments in them games. again, that's maybe not happened, but I genuinely think he's an unbelievable goalkeeper and will go on to have a fantastic career at Rangers as long as he stays. But I still can't get away from Tav, because I think he just produces these numbers year in, year out. And yeah, listen, he's got to be up there. I mean, scoring 10 goals from a right back position and these assists that he comes in with.
16 goals.
Yeah. And the assist that he comes in with, it's just unreplaceable.
Same as we said to the last caller, though, Greg, he still gets a lot of stick, doesn't he?
Well, that's what I was saying. As you mentioned, the Aberdeen game, and as soon as Rangers lose a game, they all just give up Tavernier all the stick in the world, which is totally unfair. And see, when we do get beat, he's the only one that comes out and speaks to the media and blah, blah, blah. But if I heard there was a bit of Saudi team sniffing about Tavernier. If he left tomorrow, imagine what Rangers fans would feel when we... What would they rather, a right back that gets one goal every 4 years like Alistair Johnston, or do you know what I mean?
Mark Wilson, you could say. I'm not sure if the Saudi thing was just Twitter stuff. I think it probably was, but we wait and see. I'm definitely fascinated because most of the Rangers fans who are tweeting are saying Jack Butland. But most that are calling, clearly, are saying James Tavernier. But the Celtic fans aren't split on this. They think Matt O'Reilly. If you've got another shout out there, maybe it's, who am I to say, Lawrence Shankland or someone else entirely. Let's see what you've got for us. It's a good time to call. We'll try and get you on next after I tell you about this. Clyde One. Finally, today, after 5 days of Make Me A Winner calls, we've had our first winner of the week. We saved it up until Friday, and Peter was the happy man. He works for HMRC. He'll be very chuffed that he's won the 60 grand in completely tax-free cash. He'll be all across that side of it, I'm sure. He was going to have a cheap wedding, apparently. There's no such thing. To his partner, Nicole, in 3 months. But that's getting a bit of an upgrade now. The 60 grand's going to take a hit. It could be you deciding what to spend that cash on. Just get yourself in the draw for Monday. Just think when Hugh Keevans had his wedding. I don't even think we were dealing in pounds back then. So things are a bit different. You could be winning 62,000 when we make the next call. But you do need to be in that draw. Text YES to 61025. YES to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com with online entries costing £2. You can call 0330 880 4523. All calls charged at a standard rate. And all the rules for this network competition can be found online. It is over 18s only, I should point out. But here's the important bit. Once you've done that, once you've done the admin and got yourself in, if you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday the 15th of January, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away, and that's how you win the £62,000. So it's good luck from us, and one last reminder to text YES to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141-951-1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So far, we've had shouts, lots of them, for Matt O'Reilly as Player of the Year so far. We've had a good few shouts for James Tavernier for Player of the Year so far. Terry, who is from Edinburgh, but he's in Motherwell. We were just about to get Terry on. He had an interesting name for us, and he's disappeared. Can't get hold of him. So Terry, call us back in. Suggest your name. If we can't hear from Terry, I'll do it on his behalf. But let's give Terry the chance to call back in and see how he gets on. But don't forget, we can do this all night if you want. But if you want to talk about some of the transfer stories doing the rounds, please get in touch. Rangers fans, I know there's still a bit of uncertainty about the future of Yilmaz. At Nicholas Kuhn, Celtic fans, is that one that excites you? That looks like it's going to happen fairly soon. Kwon has gone off to St Mirren's training camp in Spain. They were very interestingly, not for anyone but me, on my mum's flight to Spain this morning.
Ah,
I got a new St Mirren, but she must not have recognised Kwon. She could have given us the big exclusive 8 hours in advance. I was reliably informed that St Mirren were on the plane out there.
It's an odd one for Kwon because, you know, when you're at Celtic, you're playing with the greatest respect to Stephen Robinson and the guys at St Mirren. You're playing with a higher standard of player at Celtic. There are also different demands on you at a club like St Mirren as opposed to Celtic. He will have to hit the ground running, because clearly Stephen Robinson needs him to do a job. And we'll find out what he's made of now, because he just didn't feature. The only assumption you can draw is that Brendan Rodgers saw no reason at all to put him in the team, but he'll have to show his worth at St Mirren, otherwise what's the point of it all?
Let's bring John in on the line. John, who's your player of the year so far?
How you doing, Gordon?
Good, thank you.
Cammy and Hugh, it's going to be Matt O'Reilly.
Not James Tavernier for you, John, no.
No, but my actual point, the reason for me phoning up actually includes James Tavernier. I think for me it has to be Matt O'Reilly. He just makes Celtic tick. One of the other callers mentioned it earlier, like, see when he's running with the ball and he's got the ball at his feet and they're passing the ball about the park and stuff like that. See if he plays well, for whatever reason Celtic play well. See if he's not playing well, they don't. And I don't really get why that's kind of happened ever so sudden recently, but... I just think he's Celtic's best player by a country mile.
I think the quality of the moments as well, Cammy. So you can make up your own criteria here, like importance to the team, numbers. We said the eye test, you know. And if you're going through Matt O'Reilly's numbers and the goals that he scored or the goals he's assisted, then the quality of those, it sort of started in the first day of the season against Ross County. Remember, he rifled it in with his right foot.
Yep, yep.
And he thought, well, that's not a bad finish for the right foot. And he never really looked back and scored the next game against Aberdeen, a bit more of a simple finish. You think of the goal, was it the Hearts goal? Is that the one that sort of that came over his shoulder at Tynecastle? He kind of volleys it into the far corner. Is that right? I think I'm remembering that one right. We mentioned some of the
goal at Motherwell when he bailed Celtic out at Fir
Park. Absolutely. Yep. We mentioned some of the passes as well. Yeah. So you get. And look, numbers are numbers, and that's why there's a, you know, people are obsessed with assists and stuff. But then, within that, some assists are better than others, I guess. And it just feels like he's had a number of really high quality moments.
Yeah, he has. He's had a number of high quality goals, and as you say, assists as well. And listen, John, as he says, he is.
Oh, the St Johnstone goal. Sorry, that was another.
Is that what you're thinking?
No, it wasn't. But that's an absolute standout that I missed off the list.
Yes,
remember they were 1-0 down.
Yep. Is that the one that Brendan Rodgers gave them a rocket at half time? Yep. Again, I just feel what John's saying is he absolutely makes them tick. I think Celtic have got a couple of players, and I've touched on it, Cal McGregor, I think's one of them, and Matt O'Reilly's another one that they heavily rely on. Matt O'Reilly more for, I think, getting the goals and assists, and they rely on him from unlocking doors, because listen, you get a lot of teams at Celtic face that they sit in, they play a low block, they make it difficult, and that's hard for players. You need to have quality players that can find that small gap and create opportunities or create a goal for themselves, and Matt O'Reilly can do that in abundance. He's been brilliant.
I don't think, again, this is a kind of made up bit, you don't have to take this into account for a player of the year discussion, but as an example of recruitment as well, and you did touch on it earlier, it is a guy that signed from MK Dons.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
And was also second choice, because the one they wanted was Riley McGree.
Sliding doors moment, isn't
and
it?
And he said no, and is now at Middlesbrough. And Matt O'Reilly came up, nobody knew him. That's the Celtic model. But has become a magnificent player. As I said earlier, to let him go now is fan revolt time. But in the summertime, that's a different matter. And it's almost an obligation on Celtic's part, because they go on about the model, and the model has put £72 million in the bank for them, and for a long period of years has worked very successfully. But it's something the fans have to get their head around. MK Dons, 2.5 years at Celtic, 10 times the player, 10 times the money.
This is an interesting one, because I reckon then right now, amidst all the debate about Celtic's transfers and recruitment, I think if Celtic in this window signed a League One player for £1.5 million, it would be seen as underwhelming. Even though the last guy to do it, you're all telling me he's player of the year. And this is, I've clearly got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about this, because I mention it all the time, but we pigeonhole types of signings before they even get here. And I do think that, you know, if that was to happen again, even right now, even with Matt O'Reilly staring you in the face, we would probably still hear complaints about lack of ambition or projects, is everyone's favourite word.
But again, they're not always going to work. They're not always going to be a Matt O'Reilly. We're not going to see somebody turn from 1.5 million.
You would surely let them have the chance to
find out. Absolutely. But again, then that's why I think that Celtic fans at this moment in time, if they were to sign somebody like that, it would be that word that you've just used, Gordon, project. And they don't want to see any more projects at the moment. They want to see ready-made players that will go straight into that starting team to improve them.
Matt O'Reilly went straight into the team and improved things. What do you think, John? The guys, they're not disagreeing with you. It's a bit easier when they do, because then we can have a bit of a Barney about it. But I think you've convinced them.
Yeah. Like I said, he's just like you said it as well. He's like the bargain of the century. He's like another Henrik Larsson. Do you know what I mean? The fact that we got him for pittance. Okay, we never sold him, but we got longevity out of Henrik Larsson.
Yeah, he did all right. I think he made his transfer fee back, Hugh.
£650,000.
I was going to say, someone can tell me what the, and I'm not seriously comparing, because you shouldn't compare anyone to him, I don't think. I don't know what's the allowing for inflation, what is the 2024 equivalent of that?
Larsson,
because we discovered that actually I made a joke about your wedding earlier. Apparently I actually googled it during the break. You got married when?
1971 August.
So you actually were 6 months after decimalisation. Yeah. There we go. So you did pay for your wedding in pounds. Just. Yeah. Unless you'd paid for it before that.
I can remember everyone at the wedding reception, the older folks at the wedding reception, buying a drink and then saying, "What's that in old money?" You know, doing a quick bit of accountancy at the bar. But, you know, Larsson, what an interesting debate that would be. Henrik Larsson today from Celtic, after what he achieved and the player he was, and remember he went to Manchester United and Barcelona and all the rest of it. Henrik Larsson today, 40 million.
Any bankers out there? I said bankers, you could tell me what the equivalent is. Thank you very much though to John. As we bring the first hour to a close, easiest question of the night: is Matt O'Reilly on your four-man shortlist for player of the year so far?
Yes.
Is James Tavernier?
I go back to my argument that Butland has been terrific and makes good saves on a timely basis. But if Rangers are going to go for the title, Tavernier's goals are what's propelling them towards it.
Okay. Rangers fans, you could change his mind if you want Jack Butland on, or is there someone else? Terry, I'm looking for you to phone back from Edinburgh and give us your shout. If not, I'll do it for you. There are other names out there. I know it feels sometimes like the footballing world revolves around two teams in this city, but it's not the case in this occasion. Pick up the phone, give us your suggestions, and we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. Beat the Pundit had a rest last night because we had the big quiz between Gordon and Mark. It's back with a bang tonight, and you can end your week by beating Hugh Keevans or Cammy Bell. This was the week that Gordon DL got a zero, of course, so anything can happen. And it's 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That was a quick first hour, but we're back for more with Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell, asking you who your player of the season so far has been. It is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Half Season Awards. It is the pinnacle. We've done a different award every night, and this is the big one. Lots of shouts for Matt O'Reilly. Quite a good few shouts for James Tavernier. A bit of a debate though as to whether he's ahead of Jack Butland from a Rangers perspective. I know there are other names out there. There's a very obvious striker that we've not discussed yet, so if you want to do that, we can. On today's news stories, Kwon has gone on loan from Celtic to St Mirren. Nicholas Kuhn, it looks like Celtic, you're getting closer to that one. Is that one that excites you? Anything else you think we've missed, Rangers fans? Ridvan Yilmaz, rumours of him leaving won't go away, so why not give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Adam is in Airdrie. How's it going, Adam?
How you doing?
I'm reliably informed, Adam, though you're not alone. You're mob-handed. Who's the backup team?
My dad and my bro.
Brilliant. What's their names?
Gordon and Jack.
Right, I probably won't remember, but it's good to know. So we've got the three guys on. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
301, don't mind. Good. Have you ever played before, any of you?
Nope.
Good stuff. Right, I like it. Heads, it'll be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it will be Cammy Bell. And it is heads, it's Hugh against Adam and Dad and Brother. So what we'll do is give Hugh some Greatest Hits radio to listen to, just so that he can't hear us, Adam. To make it easier, Adam, if they're helping you out, just you make sure you give me the final answer, okay?
Okay, okay.
Top man, 30 seconds then, we'll stick it on the clock. You can answer as quick as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that's absolutely fine, okay?
Okay, okay.
Nice one, your time starts now. Who's the only Brazilian currently playing in the Scottish Premiership?
Danilo.
Nicholas Kuhn plays for which Austrian club?
Young Boys.
Who are Dundee United playing in the Championship tonight?
Raith Rovers.
True or false, Scotland's the only country of less than 10 million people who've got three teams win a European trophy?
True.
Which celebrity did Motherwell appeal to at the end of their viral investment video? Okay, let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Can you hear us, Hugh?
I can.
Tricky ones in there tonight. Are you ready?
Yep.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Who's the only Brazilian currently playing in the Scottish Premiership?
Danilo.
Nicholas Kuhn plays for which Austrian club?
Rapid Vienna.
Who are Dundee United playing in the Championship tonight?
Cali Thistle.
True or false, Scotland is the only country of fewer than 10 million people to have three teams win a European trophy?
True.
Which celebrity did Motherwell appeal to at the end of their viral investment video?
Taylor Swift.
Who do Rangers face in a friendly in Spain tomorrow?
Hertha Berlin.
Which League One team does SPFL top scorer Romain Borrell play for?
Pass.
Oh, he was flying. Adam, have you been up against an experienced campaigner? He sounded good there, didn't he?
I think I've been hammered there.
First time, that's as confident as I've heard him. You got off to a good start with Danilo, who's the only Brazilian in the Premiership to win the ultimate brownie points of all time. Who's the only other Brazilian, Hugh Keevans or Cammy Bell, in the SPFL? So he's not in the Premiership. There is another Brazilian in Scotland.
Wow.
How can you not know? Montrose have a Brazilian. They genuinely do. Matheus Machado, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Who knows? Anyway, okay. Nicholas Kuhn plays for Rapid Vienna, 2-1 Hugh Keevans. Inverness Cali Thistle play Dundee United, 3-1 Hugh Keevans. But Adam and the guys were still in it because apparently it's true. I didn't know this. Scotland's the only country of fewer than 10 million people who've had three teams win a European trophy.
Oh.
Like that. So
I got that as well.
You got that,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was trying to put a brave face on it. The celebrity that Motherwell appealed to at the end of their viral video was Taylor Swift. You actually heard of Taylor Swift? Because I know you in popular culture don't really.
There was a wonderful photograph of her in the
Steady.
Yeah, in the paper this morning.
Right.
And they had, as we say in the trade, macked up the photo. She was there looking terrific, but they put a Motherwell scarf over
seriously?
Her.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I think I'll look it up. Get
yourself a Daily Record and you'll find Taylor Swift.
Sitting right up my street. And who do Rangers face in a friendly in Spain tomorrow? Hertha Berlin. Hugh, the guy who printed the mug last time, he was getting ready to go for the 10. Tell him, Romain Borrell.
Cove
Rangers. Top scorer in Scotland. Rangers. Adam, sometimes there's only so much you can do. You've been beaten by the better man. Thanks for taking part.
No bother.
Good man, Adam and the guys. We appreciate it. Adam and family in Airdrie who've had their weekend ruined. They have to tell everybody that they lost.
I thought he was going for it again.
I
thought you were going for the 10. I cannot believe it.
No.
How does, in the space of one season, I mean, we're talking about player of the year and you're looking for that consistency rather than, you know, the peaks and troughs. How in one season do you go from Avril Lavigne is Craig Levine's niece to getting 10 on Beat the Pundit? Like, how did those amazing things coexist?
It's a question of luck. To be honest, I have not seen the Motherwell video and I did not know that they referenced Taylor Swift, but in the paper this morning there's Taylor with her Motherwell scarf on. So you get lucky with little bits and pieces.
It's not lucky, Hugh. That's a habit of a lifetime. Read the paper. Yep. You're well informed.
Yep.
That's
knowledge.
That's the way it works. There we go. Honestly, Avril Lavigne though, doesn't it? I'll never get over that. I don't care.
Honest to goodness, I'd never heard of her.
Even just the psychology of the question, though, was she ever likely to be Craig Levine's niece?
Craig Levine, amazing.
Well, if you don't know who she is in the first place, I thought she might have been in River City or something.
Oh, man. Anyway, 01419511025. I don't even care if this suggestion's a good one or not. I just love the fact that it's different and we've not heard it. George is in Dumbarton. You've definitely got a name that we've not had suggested for Player of the Year so far. George, take it away.
I'd like to suggest Ross Laidlaw for Ross County.
Brilliant. I'll take
given the fact that he's one of the most saves in the Premiership this season so far.
Do you know what, Ross? The great irony. I think you've made an excellent choice. Mm-hmm. And I look back on games that Ross County have played, and Ross Laidlaw has definitely kept them in it. No doubt about that. But
that's what I say. I always say that.
I also read this morning that Derek Adams is looking for another goalkeeper.
He brought one in, didn't he?
Surely it's a number two that he's brought up. Yeah. Listen, George, I was actually thinking, would Ross Laidlaw get considered for the Scotland squad? The way that the form that he's in, I totally agree. I think he's had a brilliant season. The number of saves he makes in a game is so important for Ross County. The points that they've picked up, is Ross Laidlaw's had a lot to say about them points so far.
It was the Celtic game, wasn't it? George, are you a Ross County fan in Dumbarton, and if so, are you the only one?
No. Actually, I'm a Ross County fan in Dumbarton.
Brilliant.
And Ross County is my first team. So
there we go.
I don't always get to.
What's the story? What is it? Family connection? You're from that family part of the country? Yeah, brilliant.
I got that way, and you're obviously going to see them. But anyway, at the end of the day, I always feel as if the smaller teams in the leagues, their players are outstanding. They don't get the same same coverage as the Celtic, the old firms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's why we're happy to have the shout. I think what's interesting, if we're going goalies then, Jack Butland would need to be in the discussion, we said earlier. But then, you know, George is right. You look at, I mean, what goalies are, how busy are they, basically, you know, and how much do they have to do to keep their team in it? I don't hate the Ross Laidlaw shout at all, but if we were going to mention him, let's go a stage further. Would you not have to bring in Dimitar Mitov?
Yes. Yeah, very good.
Been really good as well, hasn't
he? Really consistent, makes some big saves, and yeah. Listen, I think the standard of goalkeeping, when you look at the teams out with the Old Firm and the goalies that have to make a number of saves, it's been pretty strong this season.
Xander Clark has improved since coming into the team because of Craig Gordon's unfortunate injury. He has undoubtedly become a better goalkeeper.
He's responded well in the last few weeks, hasn't he?
I was going to say, what I would say is I think he's took his game to another level since Craig Gordon's put the pressure on him and he's back in training. Xander, again, there was probably question marks. Would he be able to handle, does he have the characteristics to have a Scotland number one sitting on the bench and putting pressure on him? And he's absolutely lived up to it.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to that in a second. Whilst we've got George on, George, I mean, Ross County are down in that portion of the league. I mean, it's really tight though, but they're in that portion of the league where you're trying to prevent, trying to get safety first ultimately. How key will Ross Laidlaw be to that?
Well, Ross Laidlaw is a big factor in the team. He's one of the senior players as well, and he brings on the younger ones as well. It helps out. He's a very good professional, and he does a lot for the local area as well. You know, goes and visits and makes phone calls to fans. He's well in there and he loves it. But you know, he's a great player. I just think they don't get, the goalkeepers don't get recognition needs. You know, I mean, I always feel as if sometimes when a goalkeeper saves a penalty, they put it into the strike and missing.
Yeah, we always talk about it being a bad penalty, don't you?
Oh, it's a terrible penalty. No, it was a good save.
The goalkeeper
saved the penalty.
It's a fair shout. One of my favourite personal theories that I've not really looked into that much, and I couldn't immediately back it up with any science. I think the team that goes down automatically always has goalkeeping issues. Yep. I won't be too harsh on the individual and say they're rotten.
Yep.
It could be a number of reasons, and it could be underperforming. but I always think teams that go down have got a real problem in goal.
Totally agree, and I'll go one further. The season that Kilmarnock went down, there was a goalkeeping issue in that department. Again, there was chopping and changing between, I think it was Doyle and Rodgers, and they didn't have a number one. They didn't have a goalkeeper who was good enough to keep them in the league, and that was the reason they went
was
down.
Was that the season Hearts went down as well?
Yes, because Kilmarnock went down through the playoffs against Dundee.
So was that the Pereira season?
Yes.
Kawashima at Dundee United,
yep.
I think.
So we can go through it all, I totally agree.
I do feel like, you know, whoever it is that's down there. And again, back to, we're talking, you know, busyness, and this is why I prefer to stay. I keep stats kind of here, Hugh. Like, I don't mind them, and it's good to back up things. I won't dive head first, because some people will say, yeah, well, save percentage is important, though, because obviously that's the percentage, you know, the number of shots and all that sort of stuff. But Pye and Bovril put some stats up about goalkeepers this week, and if you're looking at just the different levels, all the praise Jack Butland's got, and he deserves it, and he's been reliable. He's made 37 saves. Mitov's made 74.
Yeah.
And again, that doesn't take into account easy saves, hard saves.
Yeah.
Although maybe you could say that, in theory, Rangers and Celtic should be limiting their opponents to lower quality shots.
Yeah,
I would guess. I don't know, but I mean that's the difference in busyness level. 74 saves Mitov's made. Joe Hart's made 29. Jack Butland's made 37. And it doesn't always work that, you know, the best teams have fewer saves, because Shamal George, bottom of the league's only made 42. But maybe he's not. He's sat out a couple of games as well, so.
And maybe his failure to make saves has cost them.
That's where we come back to percentage
issue involving teams at the foot of the league, and you know,
this could be the year it breaks. I don't think Shamal George is terrible.
No,
but he's been displaced on more than one.
I don't think he's been as good as he was last season. No, I think there's been a few errors in there and a couple that he's actually got away with as well. But touching on that, listen, I've been on both sides. Where I was at Kilmarnock, and you're making 10, 12 saves a game, and you're getting hammered most games. And then you go to a club like Rangers and you're not involved that much.
You've seen both sides, though, but is that in itself a challenge, though, concentration
wise? And that's why I praise Jack Butland so much, because he's doing such a good job that he maybe only has to make one or two saves a game. They're so, so important. The Kilmarnock one against when Vassell run through when it was 0-0, that's a huge save in that game. People forget about that. So that's why I praise him so much, because I can see what he's doing for the team.
George, I just love the shout, because you're right, we need to spread the recognition. So thanks very much. Have a good night, George.
I just wish somebody work out a fairer way to get the smaller teams involved with the play of the year as well.
On here, there's I hate to burst the bubble, there's very little chance on here because of the way it's dominated. But maybe we'll come up with an expert panel who'll just decide.
I'm trying to imagine George going to the local in Dumbarton and saying, let's have a conversation about Ross Laidlaw. What?
I know, that's the way it works. Thanks.
We do it quite often.
Thanks very much to George on the line. It is a shame that we've waited until this time of the night to hear this name for the first time, but we did have a caller and then we couldn't get a hold of him. Scott and East Kilbride, who is the name we need to throw into the mix?
Well, I'm giving a shout to Lauren Shankland.
Absolutely.
I'm a Rangers fan, actually, and I would obviously back my own guys that have been mentioned tonight. Great stats, but Lauren Shankland is keeping Hearts where they are. If you look at Hearts' results from, you know, just mid-December for the Celtic game, in the Ross County game, the Livingston game, his goals are keeping Hearts where they are, and they'd be in trouble without him. So I think it's a bit of a no-brainer for him at the moment.
It's just quickly extra praise, because occasionally someone will push their own team's allegiance to one side. It doesn't happen very often. Scott's a Rangers fan. Maybe it's just because he wants to sign Lauren Shankland.
It's almost a problem for Hearts that he's so good, Lauren Shankland, because Scott's right.
That is the biggest Hugh Keevansism I've ever heard.
Well,
how could it be a problem?
Because when he goes, his departure means that you're looking down a black hole, because there's no Lauren Shankland light anywhere to be found.
He has to be good first. That is the ultimate negative outlook on the situation.
It's the way that sustained me through life.
That's amazing. Obviously, he has to be in it, in the shortlist, because Scott's right. part of it that will always come up. We heard that Matt O'Reilly is so important to this Celtic team. James Tavernier is so important to this Rangers team. You could argue, if we're talking about importance to their team, Shankland maybe is ahead of both of those.
Definitely for me. He's the driving force of Hearts. He holds them together. He's a captain. But his goals, just the way that he plays as well, he brings a lot of players into play. He's so intelligent. He's a brilliant, brilliant footballer for me. And he's definitely got to be there. I'm absolutely delighted Scott's phoned in and gave that shout. And I'm pretty sure Scott's hoping that Rangers might make a sneaky bid for him. But he's been phenomenal for Hearts and so, so important to him. And listen, I get where Hugh's coming from, because I can see what you're saying.
Hanging out with him for too long. The numbers are there, Hugh. It is 19 goals in 30 appearances. It is 13 in the league. He's 3 clear as the league's top goal scorer at the moment. And you always know you need to time your run for awards season.
Yeah.
So if this is half awards season, you need to do it. He's got 7 goals in his last 6 games.
Do you know the funny thing? I started the programme by saying to you, how long does it take to sign a player from Rapid Vienna? How long does it take for Rangers to show their hand where Lauren Shankland is concerned?
You know, they have one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the whole point. We're now 12 days into the window and there hasn't been so much as a hint of whether Philippe Clement is going to say to the board, let's at least ask Hearts the question. How much do you want for him? And can we afford to pay that? But at the moment, we do not know a definitive answer to the question of Philippe, do you want this man?
Scott, it sounds like you'd be all aboard.
Definitely. I mean, it's not just the goals, it's the quality.
Yeah.
He scores every which way that you can think of. And then you go back to the last Old Firm game and you saw that atrocity of debtors. And you just think it's night and day. It's a no-brainer. Hearts would be mad to let him go, but Rangers would be mad to not at least test the waters and get a bid in.
It's been great descriptive words used tonight. Goalkeeping was described as an oddity. Dessers has been described as an atrocity, or certainly that one effort on goal. I'm enjoying this. This is giving Hugh Keevans a run for his money. It's a great suggestion, Scott. I'm glad someone said it. He has to be on our four, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, without question.
Definitely.
Right. I still feel like there's a space there. I don't know if we've decided on a... So, I mean, O'Reilly's definitely on it.
Yep.
Shanklin's definitely on it.
Yep.
You two are leaning towards
Tavernier
rather than Butland from a Rangers perspective. People are fighting that out on Twitter. So if you were to stick one of them, I don't know who the other one. I mean, I had a shout for Ross Laidlaw. Good players in the league. Miovsky's been decent again.
Yeah.
Is there a space? Is there anyone else? I mean, maybe the Celtic fans are so taken by Matt O'Reilly, and he's already had his award as surprise of the season. But would Liam Scales, is he a player of the year contender so far?
Callum McGregor, does he get do we just expect that from him?
He's the reigning PFA Scotland player of the year, is he? Did I make that up? I can't even remember. Yeah, he is. I'm sure he is.
I've normally got a lift home before the awards.
Yeah, you're away by the time the dessert comes out. Anyway, right, good time to call. It might be a time that you want to move on and go for the kind of news stories of the day, if you like. You know, will Yilmaz leave? Will Celtic sign Nicholas Kuhn? What about Kwon's move to St Mirren? But if you want to keep going, Player of the Year, we are here for you.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where you send a question in and you watch with interest to see if the pundits can possibly get the answers. Usually the answer is no. So if you fancy that, you like the sound of it and you want to hear the your question used on the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. So Ross and Renfrew says, can you name the 8 oldest players who've played in the Scottish Premiership this season? Can you name the 8 oldest players who've played a game in the Scottish Premiership this season? Oh no.
Oh no.
I don't like it. I don't like the silence.
Wow.
None. None that spring to mind.
No.
Craig Gordon has had it.
No, he's not. No. He's obviously not played.
Not that it's going to make much difference to you, judging by the start here. You only need to be 35 and a half to make it onto this list.
Right.
Is there any? Who are the experienced campaigners in the league?
How old's Gogic?
Oh, Lewis Stevenson.
What a random place to start.
Lewis Stevenson, no?
Yes, Lewis Stevenson. Well done. Okay.
Hanlon?
No. People just always mention them together, don't
know,
they? It's like,
I
know. You can't
they came
separate
in
them.
About the same
Wilson
time.
And DL. You're not done with the Hibs connection. I don't mind giving you that wee clue.
David Marshall.
David Marshall, oldest of the lot, 38 years and 9 months. I think that's okay. You're a quarter of the way there. So can you name 8 oldest players who've played in the Scottish Premiership this season? David Marshall and Lewis Stevenson. Non-Hibs players are available. And thanks again to Ross and Renfrew for sending it into full time at Clyde1.com. I did say you can keep your suggestions coming on Player of the Year. We've done quite a bit of it. So if you want to talk more topical transfer wheelings and dealings and rumour and speculation, you could do that as well.
Oh, Joe Hart.
Yes, Hugh Evans. Well done. We did say before we came on air, we've nodded to it just once or twice, but a confirmed piece of business. Cammy, Hugh already gave us his thoughts. Kwon on loan from Celtic to St Mirren. I'm interested in it. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but I'm interested in it.
I think it can only be good for him. It's an opportunity for him to get some game time in Scottish football. You touched on Ayer, who had to go to Kilmarnock and prove that he was good enough in Scotland before he went back to Celtic, and obviously he's moved on since then. But he's still a young player. I think he's only 22, so he's young. He needs to play. Whether he'll ever go back to Celtic and play, that's unknown at the moment. This is an opportunity for him to go and showcase himself and get some football under his belt, because he's obviously had very limited football up to this moment in time.
And again, Hugh alluded to it, it's just such a different challenge a couple of miles up the road. Yeah. But psychologically, about the kind of pressure and the expectation and the intensity is very different. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, kind of tactically, and it'll be less time on the ball, more time off the ball, not expected to maybe, you know, like dominate games all the time. So never know, for whatever reason, it might all come together and be a really important learning curve, or it's the beginning of the end.
Yeah, it's one or the other. I mean, there's no getting away from that. It is one or the other. You'll have to work hard. You'll have to battle. Because St Mirren scrap for every point they can get. They've got good footballers as well, don't get me wrong, so he can maybe bring that to the side. But we're going to have to see the sort of dogged side of him as well, as the quality that he should have, certainly signing for a club like Celtic. But as I say, it's an opportunity for him. It's better than him sitting on the bench or sitting in the stands for Celtic between now and the end of the season.
It's a pure numbers game for Celtic, Hugh. We know the squad's big.
Yeah.
We know it's not easy to get rid of players, certainly not on a permanent basis. And I'm not saying they would want to permanently yet. But that's what we've seen. We've seen a bit of freeing up in the Celtic squad over this window.
Idiguchi remains in Japan. He's now staying in his own country. Kwon, St Mirren. There are others like Kobayashi, for example, who just fell off the radar altogether. I'd imagine that in this window, Celtic would be looking to offload Kobayashi. There's always speculation about Lagerbielka and who might be interested in taking him off Celtic's hands permanently or temporarily. Navrotsky, who knows, came in for a couple of games before the winter break and did his bit. Is that enough for Brendan Rodgers to keep him for the remainder of the season, or might he go out? There will be more outgoings at Celtic Park.
I think Lagerbielka is maybe one to really look out for. Navrotsky's come in the last couple of games there, which leads us to, you know, who's going to come in. It's always the bit that's more exciting. You don't expect fans to be buzzing over fringe players, you know, going out on loan. Nicholas Kuhnhu seems to be fairly close. What's your reaction to that story? We don't know if he'll be a good player or not yet, let's be honest.
The first one in is always the awkward one, because fans always take the view, what, that's it? We wasted all this time and that's it? A guy from Rapid Vienna. My concern for Nicholas Kuhn, it would appear that his career was on the rise, and then it seemed to plateau. He's had, you know, a terrific background in Ajax and Bayern Munich, and but his career seems to have stalled to an extent.
Hugh's not wrong, but we covered it earlier, Cammy. You just can't. If Matt O'Riley from MK Dons is now the runaway shout in the eyes of the Celtic fans for Player of the Year, you can't write guys off before they arrive.
No, and I don't think they should. Listen, he's had a great upbringing from the clubs that he's been at, Ajax, Bayern Munich. They're top sides, so there must be a player in there. It's just Celtic trying to expose that. And as you said, you can't write these players off. You've got to give them an opportunity. But again, he's going to come to a club that the expectation is that he starts flying as soon as he's in the door. There's no time to sit about. We've seen that on the other side of the city, where a number of players came in at Rangers at the start of the season and haven't hit the ground running. There's been loads of talk about that, so he needs to come and hit the ground running when he joins the club.
Mark Wilson came up with six wingers that Celtic have last night until you texted him and said that there's a seventh.
Tell you.
So there's, I mean, the two ways of looking at that you would be entitled, I think, to say it's a bit of a bloated area. Why do you need another one?
Yeah.
But Brendan Rodgers says he wants real quality. Every time James Forrest or Mikey Johnson, Yang to an extent, and we don't really see Marco Tello, every time they play, people complain and say that Celtic shouldn't be relying on them at this point. So if he comes in and he goes way above them in the pecking order, the number of options is less important, you would think.
Part of the problem is Brendan's quote from several years ago when he said that a winger, I've got a million of them, and now the Celtic fans are counting them up. And you know, when I texted you last night, Tilio is the seventh winger.
I think on that though, I mean, to be fair, now looking back on it, Brendan Rodgers perhaps speaking like a man who knew that Marijn Šved wasn't going to be, that was who he made the comment about, wasn't going to be above what he had. Maybe let's assume he hopes and thinks that Nicholas Kuhn will be above at least a few of those that he's got in the building just now.
Well, you know, this window, there is conjecture about how many of the summertime signings were actually anything to do with Brendan Rodgers, but there can be no conjecture over this window. He's the man, and he has his head of recruitment, Mark Lawwell, there. So Nicholas Kuhn presumably has the manager's full approval. My observation is that, yes, he has Bayern Munich and Ajax in his backstory. How did he end up at Rapid Vienna then?
Matt O'Riley, MK Dons, stopping on 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, you can tweet as well.
Another mad
SSB.
Mad Gordon deal analogy for you with regard to Kwon and St Mirren. At Celtic Park, you can play with a dinner suit on. At St Mirren, dungarees.
Oh, I thought you were going to go boiler suit. Okay, fine. Don't mind. Same logic. John is on the line. John, just talking about like Nicholas Kuhn there. I don't know if you've researched him or whatever, but if you have, you can tell us all about him. And if not, is that what Celtic need? What's the priority right now? John, can you hear us? Ooh, sounds a bit ropey to me.
John's gone.
Nah, he's hanging on in there. He's somewhere in the background, isn't he? We'll try and get that line cleared up and get John back on. Oh, he has. He's completely disappeared this time. Sometimes when this happens, people a winger, but we need a left back. But that doesn't mean one won't arrive before the end of the window. But
there's no doubt that is not the position where the Celtic fans thought that the manager and the head of recruitment would start. There's no doubt that the Celtic fans believe, a lot of them believe, another goalkeeper's necessary, backup for Kyogo necessary, and the central defensive area is a peculiarity. With oddities, this is a peculiarity. What's happening with Laga Bielka and Navrotsky? Liam Scales, the outstanding success story of the first half of the season. Carter Vickers has been troubled by injury on more than one occasion this season. What's happening in that particular area? Two of the four, nobody knows whether they're wanted or not by Celtic.
Yeah, I think we debate everything, but I think most people think Celtic are going to try and sign a striker. Yep. Most think they'll try and sign a left back. Maybe a winger was a bit more of a debatable one.
Yeah, but again, it's another attacking option, because Listen, Celtic face games, especially in the league where they've struggled to break down a number of teams at home that use the low block and sit in and make it difficult. So if you've got a number of options of guys who can unlock these defences, then it's only a benefit to the club going forward, because they're going to have to make sure they win games at home between now and the end of the season.
John, I think he's back with us. I don't know if you know much about Nicholas Kuhn, but what do Celtic need? What's the priority?
I've not seen much of the boy, to be truthful with you, so I couldn't make an assumption on how good he is or how bad he's not. But I know maybe he plays right across the front three, so he's both options for Brendan. Obviously, we need to let Obi in away, and we still need that. I would still like to go for Majovski. I would still like that big signing.
It's a busy night in the taxis tonight, John.
Aye.
I can hear that beat my way like crazy in the background.
No, that's bad. I sent my seatbelt on, sorry.
I was going to say, is it your seatbelt?
I don't know if legally we're allowed to advertise that. Just hurry up and get the seatbelt on. Aye. Anyway, I was just sitting stationary, pulled over the side of the road. The Majovski, John wants Majovski. Can we combine two topics here? Should we be mentioning Majovski in Player of the Year so far discussions?
Aberdeen have had such an odd season. You know, he's come up with a goal or two, Majovski, but they've had they're still bottom six, and he's not Player of the Season even at the halfway stage for me.
Maybe not the outstanding, but in the conversation, he's got 15 goals. Don't get me wrong, one of them I think was for... No, it wasn't. I thought one of them was for his country. No, so it's 15.
Listen, he's
the best player at Aberdeen.
Aye, and he's very important for Aberdeen. I mean, if you take them 15 goals away from Aberdeen, where would they be? He's proven that he can score goals in the league. So again, it's got to be on the mind of Celtic. They're looking for a striker actively, and for me, he's one that depends on the price. Again, I think Aberdeen would be asking top dollar for him. Is he worth that? I'm unsure. He's not maybe done enough for me.
I must say, I think the goal return's better than I thought it was, because I had only looked at the league goals, 15 and 29 for Aberdeen. The only goal Aberdeen scored, of course, in a 1-1 draw with Rangers, which is crucial. Got an equaliser when they beat Hearts. Just a couple, again, crucial. Got a double in the 2-1 win against Livy recently. Crucial. And then you're seeing as well, you know, even in the European games, and it didn't count for much in the end, but scored against Häcken, scored against Helsinki, scored against Pauk. So doing it in Europe as well, I'm talking myself into him.
Well, you know, he's best player at Aberdeen, but you'd have to be busy as an advocate to say that he's better than Shankland.
No. We need a fourth man on the shortlist, remember?
Well, he's certainly a contender for that, but he won't win the competition outright.
4 goals, 2 assists in Europe. Yeah. That's all right, isn't it?
Listen, he's had a good start to the season, and as you've just mentioned, listen, see, if he wasn't performing like that at Aberdeen would be sitting bottom of the league almost. So he just shows you how important he is, and he's got to be in there with a shout.
I mean, Kwon's gone on loan to St Mirren, John. We've not really seen enough of him to make a call, but what are you thinking overall, what Celtic need to do at the moment?
You see that, I'm maybe getting mixed up here. To me, I was talking to the producer, to me the player of the season so far for Celtic, although all right, Matt O'Reilly, but I think Scales has been phenomenal, come in, took his chance, but I mean, I think he's one of the guys that now will be the first name in the team sheet, you know what I mean? But I was just like trying to say there about I would like to sign Majovski.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Scales has been absolutely brilliant for Celtic when he's come in. But sure, you know what I was saying to the producer there, I was talking to him. Obviously, Celtic and Rangers are selling clubs now, right? But I was listening on one of these Celtic blogs there. I would love, the same as all my fellow fans, you know, if Celtic could keep a team like guys like O'Reilly for 3 or 4 years, to try and get into, you know, make a wee mark in Europe, even qualify, even into the Europa League. Because the way it's going now, is we've got these guys for 2 or 3 years, like O'Reilly and Hatate will probably go, and then it's back to square one. And obviously in Europe, we're deplorable. So it'd be great for the fans, you know, to try and get continuity and keep the team together for 4 or 5 years to see what we can do.
I understand that.
I've got the money.
Yeah, I understand that. However, the club model, and no one could possibly dispute this, the club model is illustrated by buying Matt O'Reilly from the MK Dons and then selling him for 10 times, at least 10 times the money to another club out with Scotland. That's what Celtic do. That they declare themselves, they openly declare themselves. That's the way it works at Celtic. You know, you go back over the years and that's the story. And after O'Reilly, Hatate. And after Hatate, Abada. And so on and so forth. But I do take your point, and I've raised the question before, are they a bank or are they a football club? The money in the bank, by Scottish standards, is staggering, but they will not hold on to someone if Jota money comes along. If 25 million comes along, you're away.
That's a good example, because it doesn't take much. It nearly happened, and without going over old ground, Celtic's points total and whatever from the Champions League last season was obviously nowhere near it, but there was a feeling, well, if we keep this same team and learn and go on. But Jota, who was maybe the best of the lot, certainly the most sellable, went, oh, and so did the manager, by the way, in case we had forgotten. And then that just changes things. John is an idealist and it all sounds great, but very hard to do for Celtic.
Listen, that's what the fans want. I think that's what John's obviously saying. The board need to, as Hugh says, that is the model that we've seen for the past however many years. But they need to change their model if they want to.
It's almost like you can only keep them if they're if they underperform.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't get you anywhere either.
I mean, but you all go all the way back to Victor Wanyama or whoever.
The last 20 years, probably, we're looking at that's when they've been doing this from.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks very much. Have a good Friday night. Can you name the 8 oldest players in the Scottish Premiership this season? David Marshall, Joe Hart, and Lewis Stevenson.
Considine.
Yes. 36 years and 8 months. Any more?
Did Liam Craig play this season?
Nope.
No.
I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Nearly done. We've got a bit of time left for more conversation though, so please join in if you can. What the guys need to do in here is come up with the rest of the answers to this. Can you name the eight oldest players in the Premiership this season? David Marshall, you've got. Andy Considine too. Joe Hart, Lewis Stevenson, and Leon Balogun.
No, I didn't mention Leon Balogun. I mentioned
was that during the break? Ah, there we go. I scored so them off. Well, there you go. You've got Leon Balogun now. Any others?
Johnny Hayes.
Johnny Hayes, well done. Which means you've got 2 to get. Need any inspiration? Probably a bit early for clues when you only need 2. You think you're on any particular line? No,
I'm looking through the teams here on the sheet. Nothing sticking out at me anymore.
Okay, we'll see. What are we going if there's still technically time? Not much of it for someone to swoop in and blow us away with their argument and change their mind. But we need to come up with the 4 shortlist for Player of the Year so far. We'll then open the vote all night and I'll announce the winner on the show tomorrow. It is mostly down to the calls we've received, the tweets we received, and you can kind of smooth them over and come up with a 4.
O'Reilly and Shankland are givens.
Yes.
Yep. I'll give you Majovsky because of the goals, which you read out the stats and that surprised me. For me and Cammy, the debate is Butland or Tavernier, and I'm casting my vote for Tavernier.
I'm the same. I'm going with Tavernier.
There you go. It's as chosen by you, really, and the guy. I don't think we've gone against the grain of the numbers that the calls and tweets we've received. So there you are. There's your 4 to vote on, as chosen by you. Jack Butland already won signing of the season on Monday.
Can he get greedy?
Matt O'Reilly, Lauren Shankland, Bojan Miowski, James Tavernier. Head to Twitter at Clyde SSB and vote until your heart is content, and I'll announce the winner on tomorrow's show, Saturday afternoon, which once again I'm looking forward to shining the light on the championship. And I have to say, I feel like Cammy Bell, because he watches so much of it, is our championship expert. So I'm glad you're here, Cammy, because we've actually got Friday night football. It's underway and it is massive for Dundee United up in Inverness.
Yeah, huge after last week's disappointment, especially at Tannadice, to lose to Morton. Listen, who have really turned the corner, Dougie Imrie, for a while. I kind of feared for him. I felt as if he had put together a good squad and didn't start the season particularly well, but he's absolutely turned the corner. And that was a a massive win for them last weekend. George Oakley getting the hat-trick, and he's a big player for them. But it's huge for United tonight. They need to bounce back, because Raith Rovers have been on an incredible run this season. And again, they've signed the boy Turner from Ross County. Yep, I think so. That's a really good signing.
It's a good signing, isn't
yep,
it?
Yep. So I think they're looking to bolster their squad and try and go for the title.
But here's the intrigue. Raith Rovers at home tomorrow to Queen's Park. Mm-hmm. Callum Davidson's first game in charge as Queen's Park manager. They're joint bottom, and they brought in Callum because he has great experience. A man who won the League Cup and the Scottish Cup for St Johnstone. That takes some doing. So if Raith should get an incentive tonight, if Dundee United drop anything in Inverness, big incentive for Ian Murray's team tomorrow. But by the same token, Callum Davidson is looking for that new manager bounce.
It's a big weekend for Raith Rovers, because again, they got beat last weekend. Thankfully they'll be seeing that Dundee United got beat, but this is their bounce back. Can they sustain it when the pressure's on them, because they need to get back to winning ways?
Partick Thistle, massive game tomorrow.
Well, you know, as Cammy rightly says, the result of last weekend was Morton going to Dundee United and winning 3-2 there. Now they're at home against Partick Thistle. Again, going back to tonight's game, where Dundee United to slip up in Inverness and Thistle could win tomorrow, there would only be 3 points between them. So Dundee United would come under even greater pressure.
Can any gambling experts tell me what odds you would get on a third consecutive hat-trick for Morton? It's been quite a few games, hasn't it? What was it, Robbie Muirhead and George Oakley?
Yep.
Someone tweeted to say that they were both perfect hat-tricks as well. Someone tweeted me earlier in the week. But it might be quite something if that was to happen tomorrow. But it all does make for a really good card. Let me just check to see if there are any goals yet to tell you about in the big Friday night game. I don't think so. Jamie Carragher's son making his Inverness debut as well, under Duncan Ferguson. Just a nice wee story, that, as well, isn't it?
Evertonian Duncan Ferguson with Liverpool's great Jamie Carragher.
Is it Wigan he's on loan from? Yep. Is that right? Yep.
Yeah, no goals in that one yet. So I think that pretty much leads us to the end of the show. Get voting for your player of the year, player of the season so far. Matt O'Reilly, James Tavernier, Bojan Miovski and Lawrence Shanklin, vote away and we'll announce the winner tomorrow. You two have two more left on the teaser, looking for the eight oldest players in the Premiership this season. David Marshall, Andy Considine, Joe Hart, Johnny Hayes, Lewis Stevenson, Leon Balogun.
I've got one for you, Trevor Carson.
He's 35 years and 9 months, which means you've got one to get. And it probably is the hardest. Okay. I mean, he's a very experienced campaigner, so you'll know that he's been about. He's not grown with this club that he's at currently.
Right.
But he's just not in the headlines very much. Maybe almost forgotten that he's there. He's at Hibs. Oh, it's not the response I was looking for, I have to say. So proper experience, down south, he's been about, and now he's come up here, just relatively recently. Striker.
Lafondra.
Adam Lafondra. He's not played since October due to a hamstring injury, so maybe that's it, out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
But Adam Lafondra is there. So thank you very much to Hugh Keevans and to Cammy Bell. I think that does bring us up to the end of tonight's show. But the biggest thanks, as always, goes to you. We can't really do it without you, so the calls and the tweets are much appreciated. And I have to say, blowing away some of the preconceptions about the winter break. In some parts of the world, a week where there is no top flight football whatsoever, and let's be honest, very few signings at all. You would think a football phone-in on radio would be quiet, but not here, because we just love the football. Whatever it is, we'll talk about it, and you lot always step up to the plate. So thanks for your company this week. Looking forward to shining the light on the lower leagues tomorrow. There will be plenty of other top flight discussion in and around it, so make sure you join Hugh Keevans and his band of colleagues from 2 o'clock. And in the meantime, you might as well stay right there. It was probably the first full week back at work for everyone, so I've got just the man to put you in the mood for the weekend. George is up next with the GBX.